Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So, my friends, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 15 through 20. Now, I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus Has Reconciled Us. Jesus has reconciled us. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, before I get into the study, I just want to let you know that as I studied this particular section of the book of Colossians 15 through 20, the scriptures, God was revealing so much to me, things that were always there that I didn't see. And I'm here to encourage you, to let you know that the will of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God is upon our lives before the foundation of the world. See, God spoke everything into existence, and when he spoke everything into existence, he had you and I in mind. Praise God. And now, you and I, in this generation, is fulfilling the will of God. You see, once God anointed us, appointed us, and approved us, there is nothing now that can thwart the plan of God. In other words, Jesus told Peter that the gates of hell shall not prevail upon the church. And you and I are the called out ones. We've been born again. We've been washed in the blood through a heart of repentance. We have now been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. And you and I now are walking in his grace. Praise God. We are now heaven bound. And now there's a hell to shun. Praise God. God has washed away the original sin from Adam. And God is saying now, look unto me, the author and the finisher of your faith. Why? Because God is about to do something radical on this earth before he takes us home. God is raising you and up, you and I up, hallelujah, in the fear and admonition of the Lord. God is going to pour out his Spirit. We're going to be watching miracles. We're going to see the things that God spoke in his word that you and I have been called to do. We will be laying hands on the sick. We will be speaking words of wisdom and words of knowledge. That's right. We will be speaking life into those things that are dead in our lives in the name of Jesus. God wants to use us in a mighty way, but God is looking for vessels like you and I that have been set apart, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, that we would have a mind set apart and a mind set on the Lord Jesus to do the things that he has called you and I to do. So, my friends, I'm excited. I'm excited about this study. Why? Because at one time, we were not a people of God. And that's right. So when God called us to the cross and he gave us a mind to be saved, a heart of repentance, praise God. It was the grace of God. It was the mercy of God that allowed us now to do the will of God. And you and I are the called out church. Praise God. And we are to embrace the cross. Embrace the things of God. We are to walk worthy of the call. Can I get an amen? And so I'm excited about this teaching. I hope you're ready to go. I'm ready to go. And so let's break down verses 15 through 20 in the book of Colossians chapter 1. And here we go. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Verse 17, look at this. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he may have what? The preeminence. Praise God. Look at verse 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. This is where I got this evening's message. Let's read verse 20 again. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on now to the first verse so that we can dissect this Bible study tonight. Here we go. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over what? All creation. Not some, but all creation. Praise God. Praise God. Saints of God. Many New Testament scholars believe that this section was based on a hymn written before Paul wrote his letter to the Colossians. Now, if this was a hymn, we can assume that it was known to the church at Colossae and to the other Christians. Paul would not have quoted something unknown to them, saints of God. However, Paul was very capable of writing such poetic lines, as demonstrated in the passages that we're going to read right now. Let's look at Romans right here. Let's look at Romans. These are some of the poetic, praise God, that Paul was given such illumination. God gave Paul revelation for you and I for this day, not only for his day, but for our day. Let's look at Romans 8:37 through 39. Yet all these things are what? We are more than conquerors. Say that with me. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in what? Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. Praise God. This is like it's poetry in motion, but yet it has truth and meaning. Look what it says here in Corinthians chapter 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. But rejoices in the truth. Say that with me. But rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Look at that. Bears all things. Believes, hallelujah, all things. Hope all things. Endures all things. Why? Because love never fails. Wow. Wow. You see, we're gonna see in this study tonight that it's the love of God that reconciled us back to him. Praise God. If God did not love us, he would do away with us and create a whole different type of people or created being. But because he did not give up on us, he knew what would happen in the garden. It was his love that brought us to a place of repentance. And now we have given ourselves to him, and he has reconciled us back to himself. Praise God. And so, saints, these verses are regarded as some of the most important verses in the New Testament, establishing the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. And the verb is present tense, describing Jesus' position now and forever. Oh, that's right. Let's look at this next verse of scripture right here. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. You see, they never saw God. No one's ever saw God. But Jesus is saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Let's look at this. John 10:38, but if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Look at that. You see, this was a revelation during this time that no one knew about. Now let's look at this next verse of scripture right here. John 12:45. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Did you catch that, my friends? Praise God. Praise God. And Paul wrote in 1 Timothy this right here. Look at this. Who alone has immortality, dwelling in approachable light, whom no man has seen or seem to be honor and everlasting power. Hallelujah. You see, my friends, Jesus is the everlasting God. And that's what Paul was trying to reiterate. This is why we're using these scriptures, you know, precept upon precept, so that we can understand that in that verse of scripture we just read in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Praise God. Praise God. And so these scriptures identify who he was and who he is. And I can't wait. You and I one day will see him face to face. And so, saints, God's Son is his visible expression. He not only reflects God, but as God, he reveals God to us. Oh, that's right. Yes, he does. Let's look at these scriptures right here to identify this. In John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has what? Declared him. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this next verse. In John 14:9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Wow. Wow. And look at this in Hebrews. God at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Has in these last days spoken to us by what? His Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Through him also he made the worlds. Praise God. Praise God. He made the worlds. And so all ties in with verse 15 we just read. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And so now the scriptures we just read confirms that when Jesus was on the scene, he reiterated it with all his disciples and saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Wow. Wow, what a revelation. See, the world cannot see the Lord Jesus Christ because they're living in darkness. This is why we need to pray for our family members, because all they see us as just religious people. They don't see the cross of Christ. They don't see that God gave us a heart to be saved and a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. They don't see that how we were crushed and God allowed us to be crushed so that we would be broken people before God. You see, saints of God, Christ existed before God made anything at all. Thus, he is supreme over all creation. He has all the priority and authority of the firstborn prince in a king's household. He came from heaven, not from the dust of the earth. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed that Jesus came from above? He came from the third heaven. Oh, that's right. Listen, we live in the first heaven. Behind me, you see the clouds. After you get past the clouds, you get so high, and you're still under the first heaven, which is our atmosphere. Soon as you bust through that, now you're in outer space. That's where the vast Milky Way, the universe is. And the Hubble telescope can only see so far. After several hundreds of thousands of light years away, it cannot see any further. But yet, it goes on. God's kingdom is the third heaven above that. That's how vast God is. And this is why he loves us so much. This is why he sees everything. He knows everything. Oh, that's right. He's omniscient and omnipotent. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. My goodness. And he's omnipresent. He's so vast. He's everywhere at once. We're just a microscopic little speck in all the universe. And yet God encompasses it all in his glory. Praise God. Let's look at this next verse of scripture right here. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15:47, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from what? Heaven. Praise God. And saints, he is Lord of all. Praise God. He's Lord of all. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Look what Romans says right here. And of whom the fathers and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God Amen, amen. Man, saints of God, we are so blessed. Look what it says in Romans 10:12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Let me just pause there. Whatever you need from the Lord Jesus Christ, just like the scripture says right there, call upon him. Call upon the name of the Lord. When you're weak in your flesh, call upon the Lord. When you're going through depression, call upon the Lord. When you experience affliction, call upon the name of the Lord. That's right. When you're going through relational issues, call upon the name of the Lord. When you're going through financial issues, call upon the name of the Lord. That's right. That's right. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Why? Because God is for us, not against us. If God be for you, man, let me just say that again. Who can be against you? God loves you and he's in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise God. Now, look at this next verse of scripture found in Revelation. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Wow. Wow, my friends. See, saints, Christ is supreme over all creation, including the spirit world. Paul explained in no uncertain terms that the Colossian believers had to focus on the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is God, or their Christian faith would fall prey to false teaching. That's right. And some of them did fall prey to false teaching. To put Jesus any lower is to lose the central truth of Christianity, my friends. So now, let's go on. We were expounding verse 15 of Colossians chapter 1. Let's move on to verse 16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Look at this. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were what? Created through him and for him. Praise God. It was all for God's pleasure. It was all for God, my friends. Listen, all things were created through Christ. That's right. And we're going to see this in Scripture. Look at this. Scripture will back its own self up through his word. God will back himself up through God's word. Let's look at this right now. In John 1:3, all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Did you catch that, saints of God? Huh? You see, saints, just as all the fullness of the deity is in him, so in him are all the creative powers that make him the supreme Lord. And because the false teachers believed that the physical world was evil, they thought that God himself could not have created it. Wow. Now, if Christ were God, they reasoned he would be in charge only of the spiritual world. But Paul explained, hallelujah, that everything in heaven and earth was created by Christ. Things we can see and the things we can't see, the visible and the invisible world, physical government and spiritual forces. Christ has no equal and no rival, my friends. Because Jesus Christ is the creator of the world, all powers, whether spiritual forces, the Colossians wish to study, or any material force, were under Christ's final authority. And Paul's words refuted the false teaching that Christ was one of many intermediaries and that the angels were to be worshipped. All angelic and celestial powers in heaven on earth are subject to Christ. He is the Lord of all. Can I get an amen? He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting, for he is God. Hallelujah. He is the bright and morning star. He is the bishop and lover of our soul. God, hallelujah, is the one that came to save you and I, and he has translated us from darkness into his marvelous light. We are now children of the Most High God. We've been grafted in by faith. Hallelujah. And now we have the blessings of Abraham. Now you and I, hallelujah, have been grafted in, and now you and I are the sons and daughters of God, and we can cry out, Abba, Father, now. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise and glory in the house, for He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, my friends, let's go to verse 17 in Colossians chapter 1, and it reads, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Not some things, but all things consist. Can I get an amen? Praise God. You see, saints, Christ existed before everything else began. He is not only the creator of the world, He is also its sustainer. And by Him, everything came to be. And by Him, everything holds together by Him. In Him, everything is held together, protected, and prevented from disintegrating. Why? Because God has prevented the chaos since the fall of Adam and Eve. God is holding everything together. Can I get an amen? Look what it says right here in the book of Acts, right here, in 17:28. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Also, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His what? Offspring. Listen, if we're His offspring, He's going to make sure that we don't get destroyed and be chaotic, because we are now the children of the Most High God. He is watching over us. He is protecting us. Oh, yes, we experience affliction. Yes, we experience setbacks. But those are teachable moments for you and I. And those things are allowed by God so that we would learn to trust Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. Can I get an amen? God wants us to cling to Him, to embrace the cross, that if He can make it to the cross, die, and rise again, and now sits at the right hand of His Father, then you and I can make it through this world. I'm here to encourage you that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His will and purpose. And you and I have been called for such a time as this. God is going to use you mightily. God is going to give you divine appointments. God's going to allow you to lead those to Christ. God's going to allow you to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. God's going to allow you to speak life where there's death. Can I get an amen in the house of God? Praise God. Now, let's look at Hebrews right here. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2-3. It says, has in the last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. And when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Woo! Did you catch that, saints? He did it all for you and I. He did it for you and I. It was the grace of God, the mercy of God, that God has done that for you and I. So He did what He said He was going to do. It was prophesied to the prophets of old that He would come and die and shed His blood for you and I. And when He went into heaven, He took His blood and He sprinkled it on the mercy seat. And now you and I have obtained mercy. Mercy from God. Hallelujah. And our sins were scarlet and red, and now they're white as snow. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, saints, the Colossians and all the believers are His servants who must daily trust Him for protection, care, and sustenance. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's move on now to verse 18 in Colossians chapter 1. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the what? Preeminence. That means God is head. He is leading us. He is directing us, saints of God. That's right. You see, my friends, while Colossians unveiled the Son's relationship to the old creation, the world, this verse describes His relationship to the new creation. That is the church. Hallelujah. We are the born-again church, meaning the body of believers existed because Christ was its beginning, its source, its head. Just as the parts of the body function under the direction of the brain, so Christians are to work together under the command and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul repeated that Christ is the first of all who will rise from the dead. He was the first to die and come back to life, my friends. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? He was the first both in time and rank. And there will be many more who will live forever after physical death. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so blessed? Huh? Look at this. Look at what it says in Corinthians right here, 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep meaning those who have died. You see, God is going to resurrect the dead bodies and bring them back, hallelujah, to their soul and spirit. Thank you, Jesus. How many so blessed? How many can't wait for that new body? Oh, that's right. I can't wait. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because we serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Why? Because, let me just say this. He is the first fruits, the first to rise from the dead. And all who trust in Christ will also defeat death and rise again to live eternally with Him. And this makes Him the first of everything, saints of God. Hallelujah. Oh, that's right. Let's look at this next verse of Scripture right here. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. And Jesus' resurrection is a cornerstone of the Christian faith, saints of God. The reason that the church even exists, praise God. And only Christianity has God become human, died for His people, and was raised again in the power and the glory to rule the old creation and the new creation, the church, which is forever and forever, praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? You see, the resurrection assures believers that Christ is not a legend. He is alive and ruling His kingdom. And because Christ is spiritually supreme in the whole entire universe, surely we should give Him first place in all of our thoughts and activities. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's move on to verse 19 in Colossians chapter 1. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Him. This is where I got this evening's message. Verse 20, let's read it again. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Man, it's through the blood. The blood. The blood. It's nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me just pause here for a moment. You ever pleaded the blood over situations of life? Next time you pray and have an opportunity to pray for yourself, pray for a loved one, lay hands, plead the blood. That's right. There's power in the blood in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Saints, the little word, for example, explains why Christ will have first place in everything. God wanted His fullness, meaning completeness or totality, to live, meaning the permanently in Christ. How many want those things of God to live permanently in you? That's right. The only way that can happen is through a mind and a heart that has repented, has been washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, and that are what the Bible calls born again. And when that takes place, the Bible says you are sealed until the day of redemption. Praise God. And so, my friends, Paul wanted to explain to the Colossians that Christ is God's dwelling place. Therefore, Christ is divine, sovereign, and preeminent. Christ perfectly displays all the attributes and activities of God, Spirit, Word, Wisdom, and His glory. And by this statement, praise God, and by this statement, Paul was refuting the Greek idea that Jesus could not be human and divine at the same time. Christ is fully human. He is fully divine. Nor is there any more than one God. This is one God in all His fullness that resides in Christ. Hallelujah. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is all in Christ Jesus. That's why he told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because the fullness of God dwells in Christ. Hallelujah. God created all things for his pleasure, for you and I. Praise God. Christ has always been God and always will be God. All of God, including his attributes, characteristics, nature, and being, and dwells in the Son. And we have Christ, and we have all, hallelujah, God in human form, living in us, hallelujah, by the grace of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And any teaching that diminishes any aspect of Christ, either his humanity or his divinity, is false teaching. God's fullness dwells in Christ, and that fullness is reconciled, has reconciled everything to himself. And this reconciliation was accomplished through Christ's blood on the cross. Reconciliation means reestablishing a relationship, causing a relationship to become friendly and peaceable when it had not been so. And because Christ is creator and sustainer of everything, his death on the cross provided reconciliation, hallelujah, for everything. Look what it says here in the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I want to pause right there. Those of you right now that have a hard time forgiving people, that have a hard time relating to people, whether it's friend, family, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your child, no matter what the case may be, this is the time now to give it to God and say, oh God, help me to die to self. Help me to embrace the cross. Because the Word of God says that if you cannot forgive your brother or your sister, hallelujah, God cannot forgive you of your transgressions. Oh, that's right. You know, I've heard it said like this. Well, I forgive. Yeah, but you don't forget. You still remember the transgression. Total forgiveness is total laying your life at the cross and reconcile. We've been given the Spirit and the ministry of reconciliation. So if God reconciled us, that we were so lost and we were so sinful and we didn't deserve this great salvation, how much more you cannot reconcile your indifferences with your brother, your sister, your friend, your family member, your spouse. Oh, that's right. God is saying something right now, and God wants you to take circumspect of your heart. If there's something that's not like God, ask God to remove it. Can I get an amen? Because we need to walk in purity. We need to walk in the humbleness of heart. We need to press toward the prize and the call of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God. Yes, we do, saints of God. But see, my friends, what Paul did mean by everything is number one. First, consider what this reconciliation means for humanity. There can be no peace between sinful humans and a holy God. And because people are born into sin, they cannot become good enough to be acceptable to God. That's right. In the Old Testament times, God accepted symbolic offerings. Jesus had not yet been sacrificed. So God accepted the life of an animal in place of the life of the sinner. And when Jesus came, he substituted his perfect life for our sinful lives, taking the penalty for sin that we deserve. And the penalty for sin is death. We are guilty of culpable, but Jesus took the punishment. Can I get an amen? We deserve to be on the cross. But he said, out of the way, I'm going down. I'm going to die for you. Praise God. And thus, my friends, he redeemed us from the power of sin and reconciled us to God. Secondly, saints of God, hallelujah, reconciliation of everything means that everyone will be saved? No. From other passages, we know that Paul understood salvation to be something accepted or rejected by humans who are given the choice. Oh, that's right. That's right. They're given the choice. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. It says right here in 2 Thessalonians 1:5-10. Let's read this. It's very important. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. I want you to catch this. Look at this. And to give you who are troubled rest with us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Look at verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you catching this, saints of God? There are some people that will not believe in God, and they will face this punishment. Look at this. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And when he comes in that day, capital D, the day of the Lord, to be glorified with his saints, that's you and I, and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was what? Believed. Did you catch that? You see, not everyone's going to believe. How many are so blessed that God gave us a mind to be saved and a heart to repent? God has allowed us, hallelujah, to be grafted in by faith. But there are many who have not bowed their knee as of yet. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. We don't know when God will quicken them. All I know is you and I, we've been saved by grace through faith. And now, it's a gift from God. It's nothing that we did, nothing that we garnered, nothing that we deserve. All he gave us was mercy and grace. Hallelujah. And now we are walking in the grace of God and the love of God. You see, saints of God, the scope of God's reconciliation is universal. It is offered to all people. But reconciliation is accomplished only for those who accept Christ as Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this right here in this next verse of Scripture. Praise God. Praise God. It's found right here. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 8. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has what? Reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me just say this. You have to ask yourself, truly, if you cannot reconcile with your brother, your sister, no matter if it's a friend, family member, spouse, you got to ask, is the Holy Spirit actually living inside you? Because if the Holy Spirit is living inside you, it'll melt you like butter. And you will have a love despite of the wrong. And there are some people that will wrong you. I get that. But still, if you give it to God without trying to repay that person back. Oh, there's some people, they try to manipulate. Oh, that's right. They said, well, I'll do this if you do that. And I'm going to take time out here and take time out that. Listen, that ain't reconciliation. Reconciliation is getting to the matter and taking it to God right away so that your walk will not be hindered and your prayers will not be hindered. Can I get an amen? Come on, someone give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah in the house of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, thirdly, my friends, what does this reconciliation mean for everything besides humans? Just as all of creation fell when Adam sinned, so all the creation will be what? Reconciled. Sin has caused all creation to fall from the perfect state in which God created it. Thus, the world is subject to decay so that it cannot fulfill its intended purpose. One day, all creation will be liberated and transformed. Praise God. I can't wait. I can't wait. Look what it says in the book of Romans. For the earnest, say that with me at home. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits. Look at this. Eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Oh, that's right. All creation. Listen, you don't want to stick your hand in a hole in the ground not knowing, does a spider live there? Does a snake live there? Does a rabid gopher live in there that will bite you and harm you? Right now in Africa, lions do not sleep with lambs. Oh, that's right. See, right now, all the things that are happening in this world, Paul alluded it throughout the scriptures, but Jesus said in Matthew 24 that when you see these signs, look out for your redemption, draw it nigh. And so everything is travailing, like a woman having birth pains, earthquakes, and volcanoes are taking place throughout the world right now. That's right. Wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said it will be like the days of Lot and Noah. And there's floods all over in the European nations, in the Asian nations. And there's fire and drought over here. My goodness, my goodness, my friends, God is saying this is the time to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith, of our faith. Can I get amen? And so, saints, in addition to Paul's reference to things in heaven and on earth was meant to be another blow to the false teachers. Nothing in the universe escaped Christ's reach. There is no neutral ground. Everything falls under his power. No alien force of darkness can undermine his work or his church. Satan and demons will not be reconciled to God. Instead, their end is certain, my friends. It is certain. I want you to catch this. This is what old Slewfoot has to look forward to now. Look at this. In Revelations 27 through 10, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. This is during the millennium reign and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. Those number is as of the sand of the sea. Are you catching this, saints? Are you catching this? Look at this. They went up to the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Verse 10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. What? Yes, forever and ever. Wow, wow. Saints of God, I want you to look behind me. You see these clouds back here? Jesus, soon and very soon, is coming. And how many are so blessed to know that Jesus is coming for his church? Oh, that's right. He's coming for you and I. He's not going to leave us orphans when he has to pour out the wrath. Because once he removes the church, then the wrath will be poured out. And the Bible's clear that you and I, the born-again church, is not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Oh, I'm excited. Look what it says in God's Word. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with them who sleep in Jesus. Look at that. That's for you and I. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, say that with me, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Praise God. Praise God. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to be with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. You see, he's going to come back in those clouds. That's right. And his feet is not going to even touch the ground. The dead will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. How many can't wait for that moment? I can't wait. This body's failing me. I want the new body now. Hallelujah. The earth is groaning for a change, we just read. Everything in this created thing that God created is groaning and moaning for the change, that righteousness would prevail in our land, and that we would no longer have evil, and we wouldn't have violence, and we won't have iniquity in this planet no more. If God would be ruling it with a rod of iron of righteousness. Praise God. But something miraculous is going to take place. That's right. You and I, hallelujah, is going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Let's look at this right now. In 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to be changed, and it's going to be so fast, faster than the speed of light. Oh, that's right. That's right. It's going to be that fast. And then we're going to float up, and people are going to see us floating up to be with God, and we're going to be a witness to the unbelieving world. Praise God. But listen, if you have logged in and you're hearing this for the first time and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe God is calling you now to truly repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with a repentant heart and cry out for forgiveness of your sin. Because if that hasn't taken place, don't let this next thing you see happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come.
Man, I tell you, every time I play this video, I'm reminded that God has had mercy on you and I who are truly born again. But maybe, just maybe, you who are watching and listening have never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out to God and do exactly what the very first sermon that was given 2,000 years ago. Apply it to your life. And truly believe in your heart that Jesus died and was buried and rose again for you and I. Ask God to give you a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. Look at the scripture that I'm putting up right here. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Remission means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Aren't you so blessed? Praise God. Praise God. Now, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. If you're logged in for the first time, second time, third time, I don't care how many times, but you've never given your heart to God, I want you to pray with me. The Amazing Grace family that's logged in, I believe will pray with you as well, and that you would be saved and set apart and wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can all be caught up in the clouds. Pray this prayer and ask God by faith to come into your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. I'm believing that someone just got saved and someone right now has given their heart to Christ. Listen, if that's you, down below is our website. Log on. Reach out to us. Our email and phone number is there. We want to give you a Bible if you don't have one. And we want to pray with you and lead you to a church that teaches the unadulterated Word of God. And once again, pray for us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, we're meeting with the leaders at Sweetwater Community Church. And we're praying about that they would honor another year there with us. And that we would go another year on another lease. And so we need your prayers. We need wisdom. We need your prayers of thankfulness. And believing that God has called us there for such a time as this, and that we would have another year there. I've been loving the whole year. I hope you have too. And so pray that God's grace will meet us. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on Sunday morning at 10:30, hopefully to give you some great news that we can have this lease renewed. But down below, also, if you have been... if you've never donated to our ministry, donations are deeply appreciated. And I want to thank and praise God for all those who have sincerely, with all their heart, have been supporting our ministry. I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for having that heart to give unto the work of the ministry. And so, my friends, I'm going to leave you with our benediction. Sister Yolanda and I, we love you all to death. And on behalf of Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, we just want to say we love you and we bless you. And allow me to pray the benediction so that we can be dismissed. And it goes like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So, my friends, we love you. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30. It's a live in-person service, and I can't wait to share what's going to take place tomorrow morning at 10 and have another word that we can feast on the things of God. Love you. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.